Jesus returns today. Do you want him to find you like you are now? Do you want him to find you the way your heart is now?
Yeah, brother. Yes, brother. Thank you,
Lord. Lord, help.
For no man knows the day or the hour that he might come for you.
Right.
Are you the way you want to be found when he comes right now?
Lord.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
Would you turn to Jeremiah 13? Once you found that, if you'd stand with us, I want to read one verse from Jeremiah 13 in your hearing and see what God would enable us to gain, to benefit from in our time of worship together. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse number 23. Jeremiah 13 verse 23. It reads, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to do evil." Can I read that for you again? You think about it as I read it. Ask God to seal it to your heart. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? The answer is no. Or the leopard change his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to do evil. The answer is no. Father, meet us now in the Scriptures. Lead us now in the Scriptures. Father, open our hearts. We need you. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject today is we must change. We must change. We've been talking for the past several weeks about finding delight in the Lord. We've been talking about finding happiness in the Lord. We've been talking about finding joy in the Lord. Because we need happiness, joy, delight in the Lord for this Christian life that we must live. But now we've also discovered that sin prevents us from having this delight in the Lord. Sin prevents us from having happiness in the Lord, prevents us from having joy in the Lord. Therefore, sin must be addressed. We must change. I want to talk to you for the next few weeks about making changes in our lives that will last. Not the little upward movement, falling back, racing ahead a little bit like a youngster with a car. You see, youngsters, when they get caught, they haven't bought any tires, buy no gas, don't know anything about repairs, but they get behind the wheel and they race off from one light to the next, get there and stop. They don't know that the race isn't given to the swift. So I want to talk about not little quickie kind of changes, but changes in our lives that are going to last. Not like a little kid behind a car, behind the wheel of a car for the first time. The Bible says that God wants us to be mature in Him. Permanent change that alters our lifestyle forever. But in order for us to have this, we must admit that we need God's help. Now here's my proposition. God brings about change, but God Himself does not change. God changes the seasons, right? Changes the weather. He sends wind. He sends rain. He changes the nations. God raises up one nation, takes another one down. Tears one down, raises another one up. Raises up rulers. He changes rulers as He sees fit. God is in control of our health. God changes, distributes the wealth around the world. It all belongs to Him. And He makes changes as He sees fit. And God also changes people. Aren't we thankful for that? But God Himself does not change. I will tell you, this is so thrilling to me. Because we're going to brag on God a little bit today. Is that all right? I didn't think about it. I was wondering, Lord, why am I getting all my spiritual adrenaline is all flowing here. And I realized, man, I am just boasting in the Lord here. Can we do that together? God says, I, the Lord, do not change. I like King James. I, the Lord, change what? Not. Malachi 3:6. God does not change. He has no need to change in these specific ways. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have feelings. God responds to repentance, responds to change. That's not what He's talking about. But we're going to boast in the fact that our God does not change. You can trust Him. Would you want to serve a God that was fickle, that you couldn't trust? What ways? Let's boast in our Lord. Let's see how God does not change, all right? The first thing that I wrote down here for myself is God is perfect in His person and character. Perfect. He does not change in His person. What do I mean by that? I mean things like James 1:17. You know what James says there? Every perfect gift and every good thing bestowed is from above, right? Coming down from the Father of lights in whom there is no variation or shadow of change. God isn't shifting around like the sunlight and like things like His creation. God does not change. He's always the source of good. Every perfect gift, every good gift comes from where? You have to know that, Christian. God does not change. In His person, and then you know the way. Turn over to 1 John 1. This is the way. One of the ways the Apostle John said it for us. 1 John 1:5. He says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." You see that? There's no little glimmer. There's no little speck of darkness. There's no sin in God. He is light. He is pure. He is holy altogether. 100. You know, I don't even know if 100% applies to God. I'm serious. I don't think we have numbers that apply to God. Numbers apply to us. God is holy, period. There is no darkness in Him at all. Aren't you thankful for that? His person does not change. His character does not change. That's what Malachi 3:6 is talking about. I, the Lord, change not. So that's the reason my people are not consumed. If God wasn't compassionate, think of God releasing His wrath every time there was sin. There'd be no world. There'd be no people. God is compassionate. He's long-suffering. Even with His own people, there'd be no church at 4450 Edmondson Road if God released His wrath and judgment on us for our sin. Amen. Christians!
Amen. Tell the truth. Amen, brother.
So I'm thankful that He does not change.
Amen.
Then the pastor writing to that little home church there in the book of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is what? The same. What? Yesterday, today, and what did He say? Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. The same. We've got that. That's our Savior. He's the same. He does not change. He saved you the same way He saved Abraham. Hallelujah. He saved you the same way He saved your grandmother and the ones before them. Glory. He's the Savior that does not change. God never differs from Himself. Now, I tell you, sometimes when you get to bragging on God, you realize that you get all tangled up in your words. And I'm probably going to do some of that today, but I'm going to brag on Him anyway. God never differs from Himself. God never increases, nor does He decrease. God is never improving.
All right.
Isn't that mind-boggling? He never improves. Hallelujah. You like bragging on God? I do. He's never growing. Never getting wiser. He's never getting holier. Never getting more faithful. Never getting more lovely, not loving. He's never getting better in justice and wrath. No. He's perfect. Hallelujah. Perfect in His person and character. Another way that God does not change is that He's perfect in His plans, purposes, and promises. That's what I said. Perfect in His plans, purposes, and promises. God plans, His plans and purposes cannot be improved upon in any way. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
No one, anywhere, at any time, can improve upon God's plan. It's the way the psalmist said it in Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. You know, the way Paul said it in Ephesians 1 is that God works all things after the counsel of what? His own will. He doesn't get counsel from someone else because His counsel is perfect. His plans are perfect. Amen. Who will counsel God? Who will advise Him? No one. There's no need to embellish God's plan. No need to tweak it. Because He's not overlooked anything. He's not forgotten anything. Isn't this wonderful? Imagine it. Times people tell you're an accident. You know, how can anything in God's universe be an accident?
Amen.
That's the reason I try this. I'm not always good at it, but I really, when people refer to auto wrecks, I do not call them accidents. The explosion of, I know I'm getting a little bit harsh here, but I know I'm getting a little bit straightforward. The shuttle exploding was not an accident. The tragedy in the Gulf was not an accident. 40,000 plus people dying in Pakistan is not an accident. And God hasn't forgotten or overlooked anything. He still says, I'm causing all things. Does that mean all things? all things to work together for good. Don't you love boasting in our God? To those who love Him, those who are called according to His purpose. He hadn't overlooked anything. God never makes a mistake in His judgment or His promises. Never. His plans and promises will be fulfilled. Therefore, they must come to pass. For those of you all who know me for a little while, you know I love three verses in Isaiah 46. I love these three verses, Isaiah 46, 9, 10, and 11. Whenever you start getting discouraged with maybe the way things are developing in your life, you ought to read these verses. You ought to read these verses. It says, "Remember the former things of old," Isaiah 46, 9, "for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me." Verse 10, "declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it." Does that sound certain? God's plans and purposes will come to pass. Since we're bragging, just turn over to Hebrews 6. Something else to help encourage our hearts today. Because God wants us to believe that He does not change in His plans and purposes. Hebrews 6, verse 17, listen to this. "So when God desires to show more convincingly to the heirs of promise the unchangeable character of His purpose," He desires to show us the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guarantees it with an oath, "so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." God's plans and purposes will come to pass. And then the third thing, when we're thinking about the way God does not change, is that He does not change. He's perfect in His actions. Because His plans and purposes are perfect, follow me on this reasoning. God's plans and purposes are perfect, then the actions that follow those plans and purposes must be perfect. You see the reasoning? Brother Peter, this is mathematical reasoning, right? If a plan and a purpose is perfect, then the action that comes out of that perfect plan and purpose also must be perfect. Because nothing was forgotten. Nothing was overlooked. Anything that God does, He's already thought about every consequence. And He's got the power to bring anything to pass that He's planned. Let me just read one verse here. I got a number of them, but I don't think you can handle me bragging as much as I got up here today. I'm going to tell you, I feel like bragging today in the Lord. I'll just read this one, though. Find Ecclesiastes 3:14. Ecclesiastes 3:14. "I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him." You can't add to it. You can't take away from it because His actions are perfect. His predestination is perfect. His calling is perfect. His justification, perfect. His glorification, perfect. His judgments are perfect. The spiritual gifts that He gives are perfect. He makes no error in anything that He does. His blessings are perfect. That's the reason He says to us, don't be jealous, don't be envious of others. Thank God for your own blessings because He has blessed you perfectly. That's the reason He'd say to every one of us, run the race set before you. Enjoy, because He's handpicked it for you. Now you say, well, Brother Willie, why did you spend that 20 minutes boasting on God and establishing that He does not change? Now listen to me. This is the reason, all right? Here's some logic. Now this is for thinking people. Y'all going to think with me?
Amen.
When there's a conflict between two people, somebody's got to change. Is that true? When there's conflict, somebody's got to change. Now, when there's conflict between God and us, somebody's got to change. I spent 20 minutes proving to you that God, what? Does not. So who has to change? You see, there's always a reason when the Bible is bragging on God. When God is exalted, it's for us to be humbled. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase, but I decrease. You agreed with me? God does not change, so we must change. Now let's keep following my logic here, all right? Sin always brings conflict between God and us.
Amen.
Right, Christian?
Amen.
When I walked in Sunday school, that's reading my almost, Brad's wondering why I'm sitting back there grinning. So I'm, praise the Lord!
Amen.
God is saying something to us, New Hope. Sin always brings conflict between us and God. Say with me, because we're reasoning together, right? Isaiah said, let's reason together. God hates sin. Wait now. Wait. In the believer and the unbeliever. Is anybody here without sin? You got a conflict. Come on now. You were with me as long as we were talking about the God who does not change. That God who does not change says, I got problems with you. In order for this conflict to be resolved, somebody's got to change. God says, I hate sin. And when I revealed it in you, I expect you to what? I resisted the temptation to develop another point that I know would have shocked some people. Because let me ask you this. How many of you have heard this? God hates the sin but loves the sinner. Is that in your Bible?
No, sir.
God does not hate sin and love sinners. God loves His elect. But did you know that folks that will be sent to hell will not be sent there because God loves them? Jacob, have I, come on now, Jacob have I loved, Esau I, when? Before they were born, before they did anything good. I know that's hard. You like, some of you want to say, well, that's like those thousands of people listening to Jesus saying, this is a hard saying, that's the Bible. Now, this is the God who makes, what? No mistakes. He hasn't overlooked anything. He hasn't forgotten anything. And He says to you and me, wherever I find sin, I hate it and I want something done about it. If you won't do anything about it in this life, I will take care of it forever. You hear me? Even the Christian will find when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to deal with your sin. Now, thank God he's not dealing with us as enemies. But every man, every woman, every Christian will give an account for what you've done. What does the Bible say? Whether good or what? Bad. Now, I'm not going to develop that today, and I probably shouldn't have even mentioned it because now you'd be scratching your head. But go. I hope that it will stir you up to go read your Bible. Go study these things. We've taken sin too lightly.
Amen.
God said, I'm serious enough about sin to send my only son.
Yeah, that's right.
To let him suffer at the hand of an evil world.
Yeah.
To suffer unlike any human being has ever suffered.
Right.
To be deprived more than any human being has ever been deprived. To demonstrate to you how much I hate sin. That's the reason we run to Him. You want to be found in Him because God has poured out His wrath on sin in Him. But then He says to you and me, you got sin that remains. I want you to deal with sin just like I did on the cross. Don't play around with it. When you find it, kill it. Which means we must what? Change. Can't keep doing the same thing day after day when God has said, I hate what you're doing.
Amen.
People tried to worship God that way in the Old Testament. God had told them how they were able to worship, but they decided they were going to bring Him anything they wanted to. God had to tell them, I hate your worship. Imagine that. Imagine God saying that to us, New Hope. I hate your worship because you won't deal with your sin. Got one last thing to develop and we'll be done. I thought this was going to be really fast. We must change to glorify God. It's the last thing I want to talk to you for just a few minutes and we'll be done. All right? Now, turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And I want you to see two things here. All right? I'm going to try to wrap this up. Number one, people will not change unless they see a need to change. People will not change unless they see a need to change. Let me be more personal. You and I will not change unless we see a need to change. You in Luke 18? Very familiar story. We're going to start at verse 18. And a ruler asked him, he's talking to Jesus now, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. What do we got here? This man feels like he's living a good life. You gather that from what you read? He feels like he's living a good life. He felt like he's actually obeyed all of God's commandments. Do you think he's deceived? So you see, it's possible to think you are living a good life and be deceived. Amen? Don't those of us who have been, were lost and now found, realize I was fully deceived? Because I thought I was all right. He felt like he'd obeyed all of God's commandments, and so he had no need to repent. Now listen to me. This is the way I surmise what I'm reading here. He simply wanted to add eternal life to his accomplishments. You see the difference? Since I've obeyed God in all these other ways, Lord, I just need to make sure I got eternal life in my little basket too. I'm living a good life. And you know, it's so difficult to witness to people who think they ain't so bad. You ever had that problem? Jesus changed the definition of good. The man's life was not good unless God said it was good. You see, that's what he's pressing on him. In other words, here's what Jesus did for the man. He wants to call Jesus a good teacher, like a lot of folks do today. He's a good prophet. He's a good this and he's a good that. But then Jesus says, wait a minute. No one is good except who? See what he's doing? Don't call me good unless you have acknowledged me as God. But you see, here's my proposition. This man did not seriously want to change. Nor did he seriously see a need to change. How you know that, Brother Willie? Well, let's keep on reading. When Jesus heard this, heard that, you know, basically he's heard this man say, I'm living a pretty good life. No real major problems with my life, Jesus. I mean, ain't no real major need. I don't have any real need to repent here. So Jesus says, all right, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Now, wait a minute. This man said he wants to go to heaven. Right? Huh? A lot of folks talking about going to heaven. But Jesus says, all right, if you really want to go, since you can't take all this stuff you own, go and sell it.
Amen. All right.
If that's what you really want, right? Amen. If you really want to go to heaven, prove it.
Yes, sir. Preach, brother. Yeah. Preach.
And come, follow me.
Yes.
But when he heard these things, he became what?
Very sorry.
That ain't what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting that kind of change. As a matter of fact, I didn't expect I was going to have to change much at all. I was just going to add. Jesus, I just need to put eternal life in my bucket with all these other things. Right, Brother Brad? I got a cart here that I'm hauling through life. Now I want to dump eternal life into this cart with all of my other stuff. I want to drag it on through life. You see, now I'm being sarcastic. That's the deal. See, this man thought he wanted to change. Until he realized what change required. Some people think they want to change today. Some people here think you want to change, but you're not serious. You're not ready to change in a way that's sacrificial and that brings glory to God. You want to change to get rid of some of the grief, some of the guilt. To make you feel better. To make you look better. That's not the kind of change God calls for. Amen. God wants change that will bring Him glory. And I hope this is not true, but some of you here today may leave just like this rich man. Sorrowful, but not about to change. What you said was true, but not today, not for me. Some here today may leave feeling like you're living a pretty good life. You don't steal. You don't murder. You're not committing any sexually immoral acts. You know, you go to church. You go to school. You pay your tithes and you give. Pay your taxes. I'm a good citizen. I'm a good church member. And you may leave here just like this rich man. So the only thing I'd ask you, my dear friend, is how do you measure goodness? If you think you're living a pretty good life, based on what? Now here's the last thing I want you to see here. I hope that the Spirit of God will make this clear. Listen to me. I've struggled with trying to make this clear. The gospel must change the heart first before habits. Now, this is very, very important. Listen to me. The gospel must first change the heart before the lifestyle. That's the reason Jesus didn't confirm this man. He thought he was living a pretty good life, but his heart didn't change. Here's the reason this is so serious. Changing your habits without having your heart changed leads to legalism. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? If all that you're doing is changing your habits, but your heart is the same way. You haven't done anything but change the way you live. You haven't, and I'll get to the reason that's so dangerous. That's the reason Jesus said to the Pharisees. Let me make this statement. Listen to me, and then I'll tell you what he said to the Pharisees. Outward change may not be good. Outward change may actually present more of a problem. If your heart hadn't changed.
Amen.
Right? So in Matthew 5:20, Jesus says that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, then you won't enter the kingdom either. What kind of righteousness did they have? You saw the man praying, right? Lord, I don't do this, I don't do that. I tithe, I go to church, but his heart hadn't changed. He got all the external acts, but the heart has not changed. God is not impressed with outward appearance, but change from the heart. God is concerned about why we change. Amen? If you love me, keep my commandments. Know what he said in John 14? If you love me. So my motivation is not just to get to heaven. I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven, but that's not the reason. I love God. And aren't you convicted at times that you need to love Him more? Why wouldn't you be when He says, love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Is anybody there? Well, why wouldn't we be convicted that I need to love God more? That alone ought to let you know that you've got a conflict and that some change needs to take. Why? What's keeping me back from loving God with all my heart? What's keeping me back from loving Him with all my soul, all my mind and strength? Jesus is concerned about the motivation. But then, you remember the verse we read? I know you wonder, why in the world do you look at Jeremiah 13? Here's the reason. We cannot change our hearts. That's the point of Jeremiah 13:23, right? You can't change your heart any more than an Ethiopian can change his skin. You can't change your heart any more than a leopard can change his spots. Right? Turn to Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah answers he gives you the reason why. Jeremiah 13:23 gives you the problem. Jeremiah 17:9 gives you the reason. You can't change your heart, and here's the reason why. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's a question. Aren't you thankful that God answers questions that He has? Who can understand man's heart? God says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. We can't change our own hearts. Real quick, turn back to Luke. This is the last time I'll ask you to turn. But I'd like for you to read these verses along with me. Luke 18, as I try to wrap up here. We cannot change our own hearts. Look at how Jesus finishes this interaction with this young man. Now, you remember where we left off? He confronted him with the gospel and the need for his heart to change, right? And rather than having a change in his heart, the man left sad, proving that he was not willing to really repent so that he could have eternal life. Look at what Jesus says. You got verse 24? Luke 18:24? Jesus, looking at him with sadness, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Look at the people's response. Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" What's Jesus' answer? But he said, "What is impossible with men is what? Possible with God." It's impossible for men to change their hearts, but what? God can. God does. God will. We can't change our own hearts. We need help. We need God's help. We need power from the Spirit. Not only do we need the Holy Spirit's power before salvation, we need the Holy Spirit's power when? After you're saved. Because your heart still needs to be changed. Would you agree, Christian?
Amen.
Our hearts still need to be changed. Our hearts are too stubborn, too deceptive, too hardened, too prone to wonder, too prone to unbelief for us to think that we can change without God. You know, a number of students each year start college thinking they want to be medical doctors. Most of you know that, don't you? There are a number of students that start to college pretty certain they're going to be a medical doctor. But many of those students have no idea the kind of sacrifices that are going to have to be made. Just because you want to be a medical doctor doesn't mean that you will. Just because you wanted to when you started college doesn't mean that you will finish college as a medical doctor. Many of those students will change their majors for other professions because they're not willing to make the sacrifice of time. They're not willing to make the sacrifice of pleasure, the sacrifice of comfort, And oftentimes, to become a medical doctor, you even have to sacrifice your family and friends. Because they're not willing to make that sacrifice, many do not become doctors, even though they thought they wanted to at the beginning. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. When it comes to changing our hearts and our lives, you must count the cost. Everyone that has walked this journey with me this morning and you think you're ready for change, I'm saying to you, count the cost. When you're going to change for God's glory, it's going to cost you something. And the issue is, are you willing to yield to what it costs you? Make sure your conviction for change is from the Holy Spirit and that you're willing to make the changes that He's calling for at any cost. Remember that you cannot be at peace with God or have joy in the Lord if you're living in known sin. There's conflict between you and God, my beloved brother. Conflict between you and God, my beloved sister. Conflict between you and God, my friend. And you must change because He does not. Are you willing for your heart to be searched today? Are you willing to be honest about your own sin today? Are you willing to be honest about your own sinful habits today? Are you willing to be honest about your need for change? The Holy Spirit, who does not change, is here to do His work in our hearts. Let's yield to Him so that we might make real changes in our lives that glorify our God. Our Father, we need You today. We need You now. We say with the psalmist, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any hurtful, any grievous, any evil way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Lord, we need to be searched. Even as Christians, we think we're living pretty good lives. And yet sin is dripping, falling off of us, dripping from our hearts day by day. Lord, we need You to make us more sensitive to sin and sinful habits so that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need You, Lord, to reveal the things that stand between us and You. And then, Lord, 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 grant power for us to truly repent. Power for us to truly believe You. Power for us to truly obey You. We need You here, Lord. We can't go on without You. We pray like Moses, if You don't go before us, if You don't go with us, we don't want to go, Lord. I confess, I don't want to see another Sunday with us stuck where we are. We need to change. And we need Your help. Help us now. In Jesus' name. Would You really?